Welcome to Zion Fellowship and welcome to the house of God. This morning there won't be any children church in view of the school holiday. Today I'm going to start a new series and I'm going to talk about seasons in life, or growing strong in the seasons of life. And so I have three texts I'd like to read from the Bible. The first is from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and then also go into chapter 8, and then after that I go into Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, please. So let us turn to the first part of the scripture, Genesis chapter 1, verse 15. It says, it says, "Then God say, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years." The next is chapter 8, 22. Alright, chapter 8, 22, it says, while the earth remains, that means while the planet earth exists, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. And the main text is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Are you there? Alright, good. Not yet. Okay. I'll wait. After the book of Proverbs. Alright. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stone and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, and a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And verse 9, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him, that which is already been, and that what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. Alright, let us pray. Father, there are many things in life that we don't fully understand, and we just have to accept what you have ordained in life. So I pray this morning as I teach and preach on this passage, I pray that you give me the words to speak that your people may hear. So I pray, Lord, that you grant wisdom and discernment in the hearts of the people, and that they are able to identify, Lord, the different seasons of their life, and that they may apply what has been taught, and that they may reap forth a good harvest in their life. So I pray, Father Lord, this morning you begin to bring to remembrance the things that happen and how it becomes part of a jigsaw puzzle, Lord, to form, Lord, the whole picture in our life. So I pray, Lord, that everyone in Zion Fellowship will be fruitful and that they will reap a good outcome, Lord, at the end of their life. So this morning is an important life message for every one of us. Holy Spirit, anoint my lips to speak and anoint the ears of the people to hear. Cause their hearts to be soft and tender and to be receptive, that they may have a receptive heart and a hearing ears, that your word may be magnified in the life of your people. In the name of your Son Jesus, and God's people say, Amen. Amen. Alright, as I said, today I'm going to start a five-part sermon entitled Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life. Now, in the natural, we experience four seasons of life. Winter has just passed, and currently we are in spring, and then later on we are going into summer, and then followed by autumn. So, four seasons of life. Now, we expect to experience different seasons also in our physical life. And in our lifetime on earth, we encounter different phases and different stages of life. We experience the high of life, the low of life, a time of laughter, a time of sorrow, a time of activity, a time of inactivity, a period of sowing and a period of harvest, a period of barrenness and a period of fruitfulness. And the same old we experience, and also sometimes we experience something new, something fresh, something exciting. Some of these things are pleasant and some of these things are bitter. Now, some of it are simply normal. They are neither bitter nor sweet. Then all the seasons comes with it, the blessing and also the peril. We may not fully realize it, but it comes with the perils and blessing. We cannot see the good in the difficult season because we tend to only focus on the difficulty during the time of poverty, during the time of slack and scarcity. At the same time, we also cannot see in the prosperous time the potential danger that is lurking behind the scene because we are so caught up with the success and the celebration during those times of prosperity and good times. And so today, I'm going to give you a general introduction on this subject, and in the subsequent weeks, I'm going to explore the spiritual blessing and also the challenges of each season. The different seasons will come in life. And no matter what season it is, there is always a movement, there is always a flow under the ground that we cannot see. And perhaps we'll be called to prune and trim those things or relationships which are no longer life-giving. Perhaps you'll be called to slow down and to consolidate some things. Perhaps you'll be called to give our energy to something new that we have never tried before. The task for all of us is to discern where life is moving and how to flow with God. And God is at work within us if we cooperate with Him. So I'd like to tell you a short story to derive some of the morals from the four seasons. So there was once upon a time a wise old man, and he had four sons. And he wanted his sons to learn not to judge things too quickly. And so he sent them, all the four sons, on a quest in turn to go and look at the pear tree that was at a far distance away. And he sent the first son out to see the pear tree during winter, and the second son during spring, and the third son during summer, and the fourth son during autumn. And they went and they came back and they saw the tree and they came back with a report. And the father called them together and asked them to give a report of what they had seen. And so the first son said that the tree was very ugly. They say it was very barren and it was lifeless and it was twisted. And so the second son said, disagreed, said, no, it was covered with many green buds and full of promises. Excuse me. Having a bit of coffee and then. Thank you. And so the second son saw that the tree was covered with many green buds and full of promises. And the third son disagreed. He said, no, he said the tree was laden with blossom that smelled so sweet. It was so beautiful. It was the most graceful thing that he had ever seen. And the last son disagreed with all of them. And he said it was the fruit was ripe and they were dropping with so many fruits full of life and fulfillment. And so all of them gave their report and they were arguing with each other regarding who is right. And then the old wise man explained to his son that they were all partly right because they had each seen but only one season in the tree's life. And he told them that you cannot judge a tree or a person by just one season. And so the moral of the story is this. Number one, the essence of life can only be measured at the end when all the seasons are up. And if you give up when it is winter, you will miss the coming beauty of your spring, the warmth of your next summer, and the harvest and the fulfillment of your autumn. And number two, the moral is don't let the pain of one season destroy the joy of all the other season. Number three, do not judge life only by one difficult season. You may be having difficulty in this season of your life, so do not judge life only by one difficult season. You persevere through the difficult seasons and better times are surely to come sometime in the future. And after I've gone through this series of sermons, I hope that it will help all of us to understand the seasons of our life and to learn to cooperate with it to avoid the pitfalls so as to obtain good outcome in our life. So the question that we have to ask is, what are the general principles in responding to the seasons of life? I'm going to give you four principles. Number one is this, accept what you cannot change. Now this principle is very important. All farmers know that they cannot control the seasons and the weather. And they have to accept it and they have to work with the season. And some of these things are beyond our control. God has ordained it for us. Only God controls the season and the weather. And we cannot control them. We have to accept them. And there was a wise theologian by the name of Reinhold Niebuhr. And had this particular wise saying. He says, grant me the serenity to accept what I cannot change. And the courage to change what I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. A very powerful saying. I repeat, grant me the serenity to accept what I cannot change, the courage to change what the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Accept the fact that there are seasons in our life, and practicing acceptance even for some of these worst circumstances is a very powerful, life-changing tool. Some things are simply God's appointed season. And Job, during his severe testing, put it this way in Job chapter 2, verse 10. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we also not accept adversity? And it says, the Bible says that in all these, Job did not sin with his lips. That means God says that, well done, Job, you knew, you know, what I am doing in your life at that particular time. And many people create problems for themselves trying to fight and resist the flow of season. And we need to recognize and to understand that the seasons and to work with it and not against it so as to reap the purpose and the benefits that God has ordained for us, regardless of whether the season is good or whether it is bad. And Solomon put it this way, the passage that we have just read, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1, to everything, not something, to everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, each season may be a mystery to us, but it's not a mystery to God. He uses each season for a purpose and a role in shaping and molding us. Now, the trials can make you strong. Periodical sorrow remind you that you are human. Occasional failure will keep you humble, and trusting in God will keep you going. Each season is different and necessary for us. It does not take one, but all the seasons to form the whole mosaic of life. Only then, God can complete the jigsaw puzzle and make everything beautiful in its time. Second principle, choose faith in God over frustration and grumbling. During the difficult season, trials and tribulations, a lot of things do not make sense. We ask the question, how can a good God allow bad things to happen? It is not fair, and we need to continue to trust God. There is a wise saying in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to verse 6. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean on unto your own understanding. Don't try to figure things out. Don't try to, understand everything, because you won't. Under those circumstances, you won't. He said, lean on unto your own understanding, And then it asks you to completely trust Him, acknowledge Him in all His ways, and He will direct your path. And so choose faith in God over frustration and grumbling. And either these seasons will bring us to a point of weary or despair, or to a point of trust and growth. The only difference between a stepping stone and a stumbling block is how you want to use it. Turn the stumbling block into a stepping stone, to something that is higher, to something that is better. These are settings that the God has appointed at specific time throughout the life of a believer. And they are not random. They are taking place at a preset time. They are not taking place in a haphazard way. They have a certain order. They have a certain purpose, just as the natural season. And because people do not see a parallel between the natural and the spiritual thing, they cannot understand the spiritual significance of what they are going through. And so they are always taken up by the outward sight, that they fail to see that the unseen is taking place behind the scene and in the spiritual realm and in the inward man. And because of this, they often misinterpret what is going on around them, and they respond inappropriately during those seasons. They can even belittle the very things that God is preparing them for a greater blessing. They simply cannot see how their situation later can end up being a blessing. A good example is in the life of Joseph. He cannot see. He was thrown in a pit. And then later on, he was falsely accused. He was thrown into jail. He cannot simply see how it can be a blessing. But you read the story, we know how eventually it turned out to be a great blessing for him. And so these people who don't understand, they end up complaining when they should be patient and be rejoicing in it. And therefore, they do not see things. Therefore, my proposal to you is this. Do not see things for what they are now, but for what they can become. Only then, a conditional promise or a great potential can be translated into a fulfillment and fruition for God's glory. We can choose to trust and have faith in God because His plans for us are always good. It is written in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. A plan to prosper you and not to harm you. A plan to give you a hope and a future. And the other verses Another favorite verse is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know things that all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. All the things that happen in your life may not be good, but God is in control and He can turn around this situation that all things can work together eventually for good. And so, for those who love and trust God, the difference is in life is this. If you trust and love Him, all the different events over your life, in your life, over the many years, can all later work together for good, eventually, for your good and for God's glory. And therefore, in every season, especially during the painful and the difficult one, ask, what can I learn in this season of my life? Keep reminding yourself that God has a purpose for this season, and He's working something in me to prepare for something better, something greater in the future for His glory. And every season is a learning school to the wise man, but to a fool, it is an enemy. And you look at all the great men of God, they went through the winter and the wilderness experience. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness, in the backside of the desert. And then Joseph spent 13 years in the doldrums before the promises of God for him come to pass or come to fruition. Jesus had to go through 30 years of obscurity before God launched him into the public arena. The third principle, choose to think right, say and to do good. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 12, it says, do good in those seasons. And while we need to accept what we cannot change or control, we also need to realize there are things that we can control and we can change. And for the purpose of illustration, I'm just going to give you two farmers, the names of two farmers. Let's call the name of the first one, Mr. Cooperator. And the second one is called the Resister, Mr. Resister. And they are each given some gifts and some potential. Each given a piece of land, a field, and a bunch of seed to plant the crops. With what they have been entrusted, their purpose is to produce crops and produce fruit. Mr. Cooperator is a very responsible, a positive and a cooperative man. He knows the seasons of life and he does not argue or fight with the season. He knows that the seasons of life is given, he cannot control them. And so Mr. Cooperator does not work according to the whims and fancy. He does not do things according to his mood or to his feeling, to his like or dislike. And with each season, he will do the necessary things according to the season. He will plow the field, or he will plant the seed, or he will add fertilizer to the ground and water the seed, so on and so forth. But Mr. Resister is a totally different person. And though he has a great gifting and potential, he likes to do things according to his mood, to his like and dislike. And he's very critical. He always likes to argue and to complain. Always asking, why is the weather today so hot? Why is it so cold? And why is it raining? Why is my field so infertile? Instead of adapting with the seasons and do the necessary, he expects the climate and the weather condition to change to suit his whims and fancy. And when things do not turn out the way that he wanted, it is always other people's fault, or the fault of the season, or the nature. And in the end, of course, we expect that he reaped no fruit and he reaped no crop in his life. He ends up frustrated, angry with God, and swearing and cursing at other people. And then when you look at the scripture, it says that when God created the heavens and the earth, He has ordained many natural laws into operation. You have the law of gravity. You cannot fight against the law of gravity. It is there. It is given. There's the law of motion. There's the law of sowing and reaping. And all these things, God created it into being. And Genesis chapter 1 verse 14 say, God said that let there be light and firmament in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs and seasons for days and years. And God goes on to say in chapter 8, verse 22, the verse that we just read in the opening sermon, as long as this planet Earth remains or exists, it says there will always be seed time and harvest time, cold and heat, winter and summer. We all cannot fight with what God has ordained. You may not like winter. You may not agree with the seasons of the life that you are going through right now. But they are always at work all the time, whether you like it or not. As just as God has set into operation the natural seasons for a purpose, so is the spiritual seasons of our life. And to produce good outcome, good fruit and crop, a wise farmer needs to submit, adapt, and work according to the natural season. The same applies in our life. If you want good outcome in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in the spiritual growth, in your relationship with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, you must cooperate with God's design and the law that God has put into operation. You cannot control the season, the climate, or the weather, but you can control what you do during those seasons. In life, you must recognize what you cannot control and what you can control. And therefore, you just need to focus on the things that you can control. And many people do not realize there are many things that you can control. Number one, you can control your attitude and your outlook in life. It is yours. It is not other people's, it's not someone else. You can change and control your attitude. Your attitude will determine your altitude that you will attain. The better your attitude, the higher your altitude. And then, number two, you not realize that you can control your thought life, what you think about, whether it is positive or whether it's negative. Again, it is under your control and not someone else. Number three area that you control is your time. How you want to make use of your time. Whether you're going to work, to relax, to enjoy, to watch TV, to read the Bible, to pray or spend time with the family, or to remain idle or do negative things. The time is under your control. Number four, the things that you do or the things that you say. What you do in those seasons will determine what kind of harvest that you're going to get later on. And what you say will affect you, because you will eat what you say too often, flippantly. In fact, there is a proverb says, Guising 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So, be careful what you say. Don't say too many idle words, because eventually God is going to make you accountable and you are going to bear the fruit of some of the things that you are going to say. You're going to eat your words. And then the next thing is, you can control your friendship and your circle of influence. Both way around. Not only influencing others, but people can influence you. You can control the types of friends that you want to hang out with. You mix with chicken, you become a chicken. You mix with eagles, you become an eagle. You mix with gossiper, you will become gossipy. You mix with encourager, you will become an encourager. You mix with people who are toxic, you will become defiled. And so, you can control your friendship and the circle of influence. And the sixth area is your responses. You cannot control what people think about you, or what they say about you, or what they will do to you. You cannot control the difficult situation, the difficult people. You cannot control the trials that you're going through. But you can control your responses to those things. You cannot control what happens to you, but you can control what happens in you. Amen. Whether you become bitter, you become jealous, you become angry or resentful, or you choose to be peaceable, kind, or forgiving, that is within your control. And while you accept what you cannot control, You focus on the things that you can control for good, and therefore choose to think right, say and do good, and be part of God's plan and purposes. And so very, very important principle here. And number four principle, choose to fear God rather than fear life. If you go through some very difficult seasons of your life, it will be real easy to fear life. And we will look at some of the very unpleasant things in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. None of us would really look forward to experiencing the time of sorrow, weeping, or war, or tearing down, so on and so forth. We live in a world today where there are enough trouble already. And of course, there is a constant fear of terrorism. And the global economy, you know, is in trouble. And the world as a whole is facing increasing unemployment. That means more and more people will get unemployed because of technology. And we are witnessing also the erosion of moral standards that increase crime, violence, and evil occurring every day of every week. And when we realize that we are human and we cannot control the seasons of life, nor can we figure them out, the tendency of fearing life is increased even more. But none of those things is outside God's control. And God isn't surprised, nor is He caught by surprise, caught off guard by any of these occurrences. And God's purpose in all of this is we should fear life, or rather we should fear God rather than fear life. This is written for us in verse 14. You go back and read that we should fear Him. In other words, everything that happens to us in life, the good, the bad, the positive, the negative, the pleasurable or the painful, all are designed to lead us to fear God, that we may continue to abide in His eternal life that is in Him. That is why Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction, and he will not be visited with evil. Now, the fear of the Lord doesn't mean that we're not going to have difficulties in life. All right, the fear of the Lord will cause us to walk the straight and narrow way, and not to go astray to the right or astray to the left. Now, you say, what do you mean by that? I give you an example. There was an American middle-aged pastor who raised up in the old school. Old school, new school, what's the difference? Old school has a reverential fear of the Lord. New school, very casual, very flippant, come to the house of God, have no fear. You know, always think that God is your sugar daddy. There's a difference between old school and the new school. So while he was young, he was instilled with the reverential fear of the Lord by his parents and also in the church. And one day before he left on a mission trip overseas, he had a quarrel with his wife. And so while overseas, a phone call came through to his hotel room offering prostitution services. And also he heard two voices in his mind. One was of the evil spirit, you know, encouraging him why he should take up this service, you know, because wife doesn't love him and wife, you know, not understanding, quarrel with him before he went on a mission trip. And he said, you deserve this pleasure. You deserve to enjoy yourself. And then there was another voice that he heard. This is the voice of the Lord. And it caused him to tremble and to fear before the Lord. And so he quickly hung up the phone. And that's end the conversation. It caused him to walk in the straight and narrow way and save him from all the serious consequences. And when one has no fear of the Lord, one is very vulnerable to a great fall, especially during the good and prosperous time. The fear of the Lord is not a negative thing. It means a utmost reverential respect of God. That is why Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. Not head knowledge, but experiential knowledge. You know, what are the consequences? You know, they give you the wisdom. That's why the next Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, you say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so, the fear of the Lord is a positive thing. Now, so far, in this sermon, I have drawn a parallel between the natural and the spiritual season in our life. However, it is very important to recognize this is a general analogy. It's not meant to be a strict, exact, straight jacket analogy. And there are some qualifier that I like to make. And there are a few of them. Number one, seasons in our life are not necessary of the same length with the natural season. What do I mean by that? It does not mean that your season is always 4 months. We know the different season. Winter, spring, summer, autumn, each one is about 4 months. So the seasons in your life doesn't mean that each one will last 4 months. Your winter can be very short, a few weeks, or your winter can be very long. So not necessarily just 4 months. That I have to qualify. Second thing, you will experience life season in some logical sequence. That means you need to sow before you can reap. That is a logical sequence. You need to go through the sowing seasons of winter before you can reap the harvest in autumn or in summer. So, however, you may not need to go through some intermediate seasons like spring. That means you can go from a winter into autumn or in the summer into autumn without going through the spring. And also, however, it is very rare, very, very rare and very, very unlikely that you will reap harvest before doing any sowing. All right, so that is number two qualifier. Number three, your seasons will change. You cannot live in a harvest season forever. It will eventually recede and it will change to a different season. And so you must be realistic about the matter. And sometimes we are so carried away, we experience, you know, the harvest season and we keep wanting to have harvest all the time. It's not going to happen. You know, it will change. You look at the story of Egypt, 7 years of harvest. Why 7 good years of harvest? Because it was in preparation for 7 years of lean period. And so, similarly, the difficult winter season will not last forever. It will also eventually change. That means your bad and your difficult season will also eventually change. So, that's number three. Number four is this. Different crops have different growing period. Some crops have a long growing period. Some are shorter. So, take for example, it takes many years to grow and to cultivate a fruit tree before it produces any fruit. But you can grow bean sprout in just a matter of few weeks, very fast. You put few beans and within days it sprout out, within weeks you can harvest. So some growing periods are short, some are very long. So same things in our life. Some things come quickly, takes a long time, and some takes a short time. Generally, those things that come quickly, the fruit it produces may not last as long. That is a general observation. And for a crop that requires a long growing period, okay, one can get weary. That is the downside. One can get weary. And for that reason, God gave us another scripture, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good." It says, "For in due season," there will be a due season, even though the growing period is very long, "for in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And so the key is, do not lose heart. Keep doing what you have been doing. Number five, different crops can grow simultaneously. There can be different seasons in different areas of your life and my life. In one area of my life, it can be winter. It's a time to sow. In another area of my life, it may be summer or autumn, a time of harvest. So take for example, I worked in the outside circular job in my previous profession for more than 20 years. And I have reaped. And so I've completed, you know, all the different seasons and all the cycle. And I reap and I've sow and I reap the fruits of my labor. However, in my spiritual calling and serving the Lord, I have not gone through the full season yet. But in my family life, I'm almost near, you know, the end of it. Because all the children get married and then you have baby, toddler and children, they grow up. And all my children, three of them, two of them are married, outside our heart, no longer living with us. And another one, even though not married, living in another city. And so now I'm beginning to go into grandparenting, that phase of life, another phase of my life. So different phases. But in my spiritual life, I'm not considered there yet. I still believe there are a fair bit to go, or a different season in different parts of my life. So, in conclusion, every responsible person can eventually reap a harvest. The key is responsible. It is not just for special people. It's not just for people who are gifted or people considered lucky. There's no such thing as lucky. You know, it is for every responsible and diligent worker. That is why in Proverbs, there's another Proverbs, a wise saying, chapter 6, verse 8. He likened the responsible and diligent people to ants, that they will gather the food in the harvest season so as to store up for the lean years. A slothful and an irresponsible person is one who does not perform the appropriate work in its designated season. And he will have to beg when the lean time comes. Alright, so every person can take the seed that is given by God, the field, and work with the season. Yes, there might be difficult days, there might be difficult season, but if you are responsible and you obey God's principle, you can harvest God's blessing and good outcome in your life. And so, in my conclusion and summary, if we obey the scripture principle. Number one, a reminder. Scripture principle is we accept what you cannot change. Accept what you cannot change. Number two, choose faith in God and over frustration. Choose faith in God over frustration and grumbling. Number three, choose to think right, say and do good. And number four, choose to fear God rather than fear life. If you abide by this principle, you can be considered a godly man who takes God's counsel, and you will bring forth fruits in its season. And in this final scripture, Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 3, sums it all up. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." And then, verse 3, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper." So right now, every one of us here are at different seasons of our life, different area. For some of you, life couldn't be better. For others, life currently is painful, it's difficult. But no matter what seasons of your life you are in, you and I can be confident that God is in control and that He is using it for His purpose and for our good and for His glory. And so let us choose to respond to this season in a godly way. And in due time, we shall reap if we faint not. Very important qualifier. We shall reap if we faint not. God bless you. I hope that this message has blessed you. And in a subsequent week, I'm going to talk about the different season and the different blessing and the perils that go with each of the season. And so can I get the musicians to come forward, please? Thank you.